This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome. You are tuned into the Money Control podcast series FutureWise, where we discuss the latest and upcoming trends in education and careers. I am your host, M. Saraswati, and today we have with us a very special guest, Anand Narayanan, the Chief Product Officer of EdTech platform Simply Learn. Now, corporate India has been reeling under a skills crisis. Education and reskilling existing talent has been an area of focus for companies. Now, Simply Learn provides online certification programs for professionals. Let us hear Anand's views on the importance of gaining newer skills. Hi, Anand. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, if you could tell us how important it is to upskill yourselves through these online programs.
Yeah, and I think, Saraswati, I think what I would go into is a little bit of an industry phenomenon that we're seeing. And quite a few things are coming together right now, which is actually driving the importance of this actually more than usual. So one thing we're seeing quite clearly is there's a major digitization happening. And big words, right? Let me simplify it really quick. You know, 2 years back, everybody was talking about AI and machine learning being this cool thing that will come. Well, guess what? It's already come, right? So digital and, you know, AI and machine learning based technologies are now part and parcel of what I consider the forward-looking companies at this point in time already. And already the next level of disruption is coming our way, right? So what's happening as a result of that, you know, there's a skill that's in high demand in certain specific pockets. That might be a DevOps, might be a blockchain, might be, you know, AI and machine learning, could be anything else that is really cutting edge at this point of time. And the problem is the skill doesn't exist, right? Mm. So what's happening is a lot of companies are coming forward and saying, number one, I will only hire people with digital skills, which is a very hard, you know, situation for folks who don't have that skill. Or B, they're saying, we will only hire people who have those digital skills with a higher salary, and everybody else comes at some other base salary, right? So we're seeing that clear bifurcation of the value of these digital skills in the market right now. An example is a customer, without naming the customer, right? They work with us to make sure that their college hires go through the Simply Learn program to get digitally ready. And they only can join this company if they have actually completed the program and got certified. This trend is increasing, and the volume of these kind of situations is increasing as well. So as long as this delta between the skills required and skills available remains, upskilling is going to be really, really important. And it's never been more so than now, because you see the skill gap actually is increasing at this point, not reducing.
Okay, all right. Now, but how should a professional choose their courses when they're going online?
Yeah, this is actually an interesting question, because I think it's not just a cookie cutter. You just say, look, AI is cool, let's do AI. I think the first thing someone needs to think about is what is their background and where do they want to be? And the second part is what is actually a good profession for them to take on. So I'll go into a little bit of professional upskilling, but also some simple management 101, if you may, right? For example, everybody keeps talking about data science and data, being a data scientist, and that's the cool buzzword in the world today, right? Mm. But the fact is, if you don't enjoy working with numbers and you don't enjoy building models day in and day out, then you should really think about whether that's the right role for you, right? So the first step actually to me is, what is the nature of, you know, the skill that you want to acquire? And is that actually a good fit for what you're good at? If you're extremely outgoing and you want to do certain things, maybe something like an agile or a digital marketing program might be better. But of course, that's a career discussion. You should have that discussion with your mentor and really figure it out. But once you've figured that out, right, now it comes down to specific skills you want to invest time in. And if you look at the market today, there are a few which I consider mature skills that are still growing, and a few skills that are niche and growing really, really fast. As long as you look at those domains where the demand is high and the skill gap is wide, as I talked about before, you should be in a good place. So let's talk about a few of these areas that would be very interesting. I talked about artificial intelligence and machine learning already. Very hot area. And today, all the data analysts and data scientists are trying to, you know, add that to their capability. Additionally, developers are having to work with AI APIs and capabilities as well. So they are trying to upskill as well. So that's definitely one area that's pretty hot right now in the market. Some other areas that I have seen a lot of demand in the market is, you know, blockchain certainly is coming up pretty quickly. I can see cloud plus DevOps becoming pretty important for many companies. And cloud's been around for a while, by the way, but it's still a mature technology that a lot of companies are growing their skill on. And then within India specifically, I see that full stack programs, which is basically programming skills that cut across every facet of programming, from, you know, front end, back end, and even DevOps to some extent, and agile capabilities. Full stack is becoming pretty hot right now. Where 2 years back, you could be a front-end developer, could be just a back-end developer. Now people are looking for that full stack capability. So that's another thing that keeps coming up as a buzzword. And a lot of people are enrolling for these kind of courses as well. The last one I'd mention is digital marketing, where, you know, the same transition that is happening in the data domain is happening in the marketing domain as well. Traditional marketing is giving way to online channels, you know, Google search, you know, SEM, paid marketing. These kind of capabilities are becoming a lot more important. And the marketing mix has moved in the last 2-3 years from offline marketing to more online. This is forcing a lot of people to take certifications in digital marketing as well. So those are some areas that I would suggest. I'm sure that's not an exhaustive list, but those are the ones that are growing pretty fast.
Okay. But, you know, there are a lot of these certifications that are available offline as well. And there's always been a doubt among students whether to go for online programs or whether to go for these classroom training modules. What could the ideal mix be?
Yeah, and I think, Saraswati, I might rephrase your question. To me, a certification may not be offline or online. It's really the way you consume the course and the way you get ready for that certification that really is offline or online, right? So maybe to answer that question slightly differently, I'll answer it this way. See, I think if you had asked me this question about 5-10 years back, I would have said that, you know, teleconferencing and communication wasn't quite at the stage where you could do things in a highly engaging manner online, right? And I think 5 years back, I might have said, look, it's pretty tight balance right now where offline might be slightly better than online. But, you know, what's happened the last 4-5 years very clearly is the stability of, you know, communication across the world has really improved. And I can tell you that SimplyLearn, for example, we were an offline provider. We moved 100% to online. Now, of course, I'm a little biased, but, you know, having run an offline business and an online business, there are a few huge advantages that online brings. Number one, you know, you can connect the world's best instructors with students anywhere, which would have been impossible with an offline model, right? The second thing is today you can actually do your projects online. You can submit them online. And in a cloud-based approach, you can actually solve very, very complex problems collaborating with students worldwide. So that collaboration, which was limited to maybe a locality or a city, now is expanded internationally. So your exposure to worldwide students has increased. And the third thing, because online allows you also to start getting into mobile, there is another form factor that you can use where you can actually learn on the mobile. So if you'd ask me, if you're asking me this question, of course, I'm giving you a slightly biased answer. We moved from an offline approach to online. I think there is no excuse for online not to be the de facto choice at this point of time.
Okay. All right. You also spoke about a lot of these popular certification programs. How would a professional know whether this is the right time for them to do it?
Right. So I think it also depends on where they are in their professional career and, you know, how they are seeing their career develop, if you may. Right. So I'll give you a few examples of career paths that I would recommend, or at least we see on a regular basis in terms of success metrics. Right. Now, keep in mind that SimplyLearn tends to cater to people who are trying to either find a specific outcome or are trying to transition to a completely new career. So we build complete programs. We don't provide, if you may, the equivalent of YouTube videos that you can read and hope that you will improve. Right? Here, the whole idea is to have very highly engaging courses. So in that context, if you're thinking about really switching your entire career or trying to upgrade yourself to a significant element, then these kind of programs make sense. Keep that in mind. See, for example, if you're a developer and you're already just getting started in your career, there are a few paths that you can take. One is you go all in on full stack and you start learning front and back end technologies, DevOps, Agile, and really becoming a, you know, strong technical person. Now, over time, you could branch out a little bit and get into blockchain, where you can start solving specific problems that the industry is trying to solve today in terms of security in some sense online. Or you could even go into, you know, machine learning and artificial intelligence and start building out, you know, along with the data scientist, very cool technology that predicts user behavior and is able to change sort of buying behavior, if you may, and as a result, outcomes for the company are better. So that's sort of one sort of choice that you can take. As somebody who's non-technical, you have few options as well. You know, one thing is, the believe it or not, some of the more mature products out there or mature certifications out there are still pretty popular. Agile, which has been around for about 10, 15 years now, it's actually only growing. It's not shrinking. The amount of demand for Agile practitioners is still really high. So if you're thinking of a slightly non-technical role that you would want to take on and really see career growth, definitely Agile is one of those, as a Scrum Master potentially. Digital marketing is another place where you could get into, where you start working with Google Analytics, you know, paid search is something becomes important to you, AdWords, these kind of things that you can get into, right? So that's another area. The other area that you can also look at is design thinking, visual design, UX, where, you know, you may not have to go extreme, you know, very technical, but you will have to have a pretty good sense of the user behavior and be able to build great products for them, right? So these are some of the areas that we see quite a bit of demand for. And, you know, if you're more on the technical side, of course, there are a set of choices there for you. If you're more on the non-technical side, there are a few choices for you as well. This is what we are seeing at Simply Learn.
Oh, sure. Just one last question from you. You know, when you go for these online courses as well, there is a high rate of dropout. So how would a student ensure discipline while these courses are being pursued?
Yeah, and I think, Saraswati, I'll answer that again, two parts. I fundamentally believe learners come in two types, right? The type A's, who are self-motivated and are going to drive their own agenda. I actually believe this is a very, very small minority. This is 10%, 15% of the world's population that can, in spite of a job, in spite of their own personal commitments, be able to commit a lot of time to actually learning, right? So to the folks who sit in that category, you know, just having the discipline of saying there are 4 hours blocked out or 6 hours blocked out in every week, you know, to self-motivate yourself and drive your course completion is the way I would look at it. But the truth is, the course completion rates for that set of that approach is actually pretty low. It's in the single digits, maybe early double digits, right? So that approach can only work for a certain set of people. My actually honest thought is that the larger majority, which is your 80-85% of the learners, need a push. And so while it's good to, you know, allocate time, and that still applies, if you don't have some learning approach where some of it is up to you, but the rest is actually almost forced through a certain system and framework and a platform, it becomes very difficult to complete the course. So Simply Learn, one thing that we've done in the last 4-5 years is to realize this exact problem in the industry where completion rates are really poor, as you said. And what we've done is the software that actually the students come to reminds them on a regular basis, allows them to actually schedule their plan and reminds them that they are falling behind plan. It allows them to then also make sure they can attend certain specific classes where if you don't attend those classes, then you know, certain repercussions happen after that. And finally, you know, you submit a project which allows you to really put everything together. So the short answer to your question, Saraswati, is actually for the small minority that are able to do it on their own, allocate 4 to 8 hours a week. Make sure that you are allocating this on the calendar and that it actually happens. For the vast majority, I would rather recommend an approach where, yes, you have some homework that you have to do on your own, but also go with someone who's able to push you to the finish line. So it's a two-part answer there.
All right, sure. Thank you for your insights, Anand. I'm sure our listeners would have a lot of doubts cleared and hope that it helps them take the right decisions. Over the next few weeks, we will have multiple such podcasts catering to relevant topics in the education sector. That's all for now. If you have any comments or views to share, please do write to us on mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more such podcasts, news and views, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com. Thanks for listening.